So warm welcome, guys. Thank you for contending with the sound this morning. I'll let the slides run to the end, and I'll just chat a little bit. But first of all, thank you to the guys who donated stuff for the kids, and Heartland's put all those things together. Thank you for doing that. It's been a real blessing to the kids, and just something to liven up and lighten up their lives, you know, and we really appreciate that. So you maybe couldn't go, but you could contribute. We did a recce trip, but we were like spies this time, and the idea was to see what we needed for the next trip. And there's a lot of things. We'll put a lot of strategy and thinking into it, and we will do that. Our friend Leanne and Julius introduced us to the home. They've been working there for many years, and so they opened the doors for us to do this. And so thank you guys for putting that together and just facilitating that whole thing. We've got a new connection, and we will put the feelers out into NCMI circles to do much more involvement, get more involvement from the guys in our wider circles, because there's so much that can be done, and there are so many people, especially on their Year of Your Life programs, that could get involved there and send teams. So just love to do that. The slides will run a few more moments. We had 8 minutes of slides, and there were millions of them, and I don't think I used half of the ones on the drive. So I'm going to open in prayer. You can continue to watch if you want. And I want to trust God this morning for an impartation. It's already been mentioned here that God wants to plow the soil of our hearts, maybe to do some ripping up of junk and some weeds, and then he wants to impart something. And I want to encourage today. Today is more than anything, it's not a study in the gifts of the Spirit as much as it is an encouragement to press in and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. It's a neglected aspect of Christian life in many, many denominations. Many churches don't see the need of having to work the gifts of the Spirit, to have the empowering of the Spirit, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. They say that is not for today. I'm sorry, but we would never accomplish anything spiritual in this town where we went to in Samongkong if we were not empowered by the Holy Spirit. Christianity, call it faith in Jesus Christ, give it a name, whatever you like. But we cannot accomplish the fulfillment of the Great Commission and the gospel spreading to the world unless we are empowered. If we can do it by our own abilities and our own great thinking and our programs and our finances, then we cannot do something that only God can do. And so we have to rely on the God of the supernatural. And I don't care how many qualifications some of these cessationists have. I don't want to speak badly of anyone from the pulpit, but it makes my blood boil that people are led to believe that the power of the Spirit is not for today. They are emasculating the church. They are taking away the very power of the church to do what we call to do. And on that day, those guys will be found wanting. I grieve my spirit. But I want to say this. So thank you, Gerard, for laying a foundation for us last week and giving us a broad sort of area to operate in. I want to speak specifically in the next while over the 9 supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, you understand clearly that there are the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, not to go into too much detail with that, but these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit imparts. They're supernaturally imparted. They're given severally as he wills. And we are encouraged to earnestly desire them. And you will see in the groupings there's gifts of revelation to say something supernaturally. Gifts of power to empower us to do something supernaturally. And there's gifts of inspiration to reveal prophecy that we know supernaturally. And these gifts are all necessary for the purpose of being equipped to do the work that we're called to do. You cannot go into a place and bring light and bring dispel the darkness and deal with people's emotions, the need for deliverance and the need for ministry in their hearts unless we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And as I said, we have our five natural senses that help us navigate the planet, but we have spiritual senses that help us navigate the spirit realm. And that's where we operate in. Now don't forget, there are gifts given by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These gifts of the Holy Spirit are the ones I'm going to encourage you today to press into, to reignite. If Timothy knocked around and ran around with Paul and Apollos and Barnabas and guys of that caliber, apostles. And Paul could say to Timothy, fan into flame the gift in you that you received on the laying on of hands. If Paul could encourage Timothy, then how much more do we need to be encouraged to fan into flame the gifts, to eagerly desire the gifts, and to walk in a bigger territory of the supernatural. That's what I want to do. I trust that the Holy Spirit will help you do that. But you understand that the Father gives gifts. Jesus gave gifts when he ascended on high. It said he gave gifts to the church. Ministry, people to the church. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Fivefold ministry, we call it. But those gift people, those gift ministries were given by Jesus to his church to bring us to a place of maturity, a place of maturity in the faith, a united thinking in the faith, and to bring us to a place of maturity, the stature of Jesus. That's quite a high calling. So those gifts empower us to build the church. And then we have the Father gifts. And you know, people have Father gifts. When you're born, you inherit something of your parents, right? Some guys are great musicians or they sing well and their kids can do the same. Some people are highly intelligent and their kids are the same. You know, those are gifts that are imparted through our DNA from our parents. And the Father gives us inherent giftings that help us to also bless the world and to fulfill the kingdom's call on our lives. And administration and hospitality and all these other diverse giftings that the Father gives. So the Father gives gifts, the Holy Spirit gives gifts, and Jesus gives gifts. And we're going to look into all of those, but there they are. And so this morning I want to just encourage you with this. 1 Corinthians 14, I want you to take note. I want to highlight something here, and then I want to remind the guys who were at the men's meeting yesterday, because we had a great breakfast, and some of the stuff I shared with them I'll share with you, but they fell asleep after the breakfast, so they need a refresher course. And so we'll do, sorry, I'm sure they won't mind me doing that. But Paul writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 14. Now, 12 speaks about spiritual gifts. 13 speaks about the love. We balance the love with the gifts. You know, if I don't have love in my heart, but I have all the charisma, all the giftings, I'm like a sounding, clanging gong of no value to anybody. But Paul writes this. He says, pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Note that word, earnestly desire, those words. And one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you to all speak in tongues. I want you all to speak in tongues. Paul challenges the church that everyone can have this ability. So friends, don't ever believe that idea that tongues is for some people and it's not for me. Because there's equipment to build yourself up and speak mysteries to God that are uninfluenced by the world and my flesh and the enemy. I can pray to God in a way that's a gifting for everybody. Why would Paul give it to some people? I mean, God give it to some people. Why would Paul say, I speak in tongues more than all of you guys? That would be absolute arrogance, wouldn't it? If it wasn't available to everybody. I wish you could all breathe as much as I do. Imagine if air wasn't available to the rest of them, and only me, you know? How stupid would that be? So the one who speaks in tongues builds himself up. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. So I want to talk around a few things here. Earnestly desire. When I look up those words, it means to zealously pursue. It means to covet, to earnestly seek after, to be jealous for those things. How many of us are eagerly seeking gifts from the Holy Spirit? Prophecy, tongues, interpretation, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, miracles. How many of us are pursuing actively those things? Because when he says earnestly desire them, it means they are available. God doesn't tell you to seek something if he's not going to release it to you. We wouldn't tell us to do this and go after this if it wasn't a goal accomplishable. You know, the scripture says, Jesus taught that whole story about the Holy Spirit. If a son asks for an egg or a fish, you're not going to give him a scorpion or a stone. The Father knows how to give good gifts. Nowhere in the scriptures do you see someone asking God for the gift of tongues and getting a demonic tongue. Please, man, demonic tongues are just a counterfeit of the truth. Tarot card reading and fortune telling is just a counterfeit of the prophetic of God. There are people who operate in those things. They are unsaved, unregenerated. They do not know Jesus. They operate in those things. It's a gift from God that's been misused for the kingdom of darkness. So we need to get that back into the church because this is where it belongs. The devil doesn't come up with anything new. He cannot be, he's not very creative and he's not very illuminated in his thinking. He counterfeits what God does. He manages his structure of authority the same way God does in his kingdom. So there's nothing special about the enemy. And so God says, earnestly desire these spiritual gifts. And it's specifically spiritual gifts. The Greek word's pneumatikos. It's, if you're comparing it to, if you look up the meanings of those words, it's ethereal. The gifts from the Spirit are not something you can conjure up. If I lay my hands on someone and he is raised from the dead, I don't do that. God does that. But I'm a channel. When I get a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom from God, and he tells me something about your life that will help me to bring you to a place of deliverance and help you to find God, that comes from God. There's nothing in me. I'm just a vessel. And that vessel can be used in all nine gifts at any particular moment in time. So he gives the gifts severally as he will for the particular situation as it is required. So be open. Don't be a person who wears the badge and says, I've got prophecy or I've got discerning of spirits. I know God uses people more in a particular gift than others, but we can be used in any of those nine gifts. We're just vessels. At the moment, in the time when the situation arises, I can be used by God in any of those gifts. So when I look at this, it says supernatural, they are spiritual gifts, they come from the Spirit, they are not from the physical, the sinful nature, they're not from my flesh, they're not from my fallen nature, they are from my renovated nature. Those gifts operate when I'm connected to God. They're not something that I conjure in my mind, my emotions, or my will. So that's how we need to see this. And it's not from the flesh. And then it says, for the benefit of the whole body. So these gifts, Paul's saying in this context, he doesn't say, you guys are speaking in tongues too much and you're abusing this, so let's stop speaking in tongues. He doesn't say that. The letters written to the churches are all about correction and rebuke and encouragement. The letters are written because we are messed up people and we are still growing in our maturity. We are still being sanctified. We are destined for heaven, saved, our standing is in Christ. Blood of Christ makes us righteous in the sight of God, acceptable to him. But our maturity in sanctification, I'm becoming a little bit more, or should be coming a little bit more and more like Jesus week after week. And that's the purpose of this. And so Paul's saying, don't throw it out with the baby with the bathwater. Don't throw out tongues. Don't throw the gifts out simply because you're messing it up. And Corinthian church messed it up really badly. They're saying, if I'm speaking in a tongue and nobody understands, what's the point of that? It's better that I bring a word in tongue and someone interprets. Then the interpretation will edify the body, build up the body. Those gifts, he says, eagerly desire gifts that build up the body. So it's great that I can speak in tongues, but it's better if I speak in a prophetic word or someone interprets the tongue. Now you know the difference, right? The difference between tongues and the ability to speak in a tongue as a prayer language. The gift of tongues in a meeting context, a corporate tongue, requires an interpretation. But the ability to pray in tongues is available to anybody baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. It's available. And I always use this example. I've never brought a tongue in a meeting. Susie brings a tongue in a meeting. But I've brought interpretation. But I can pray in tongues. But I've never brought a tongue, in a corporate tongue in a meeting. So you could say, well, I don't speak in tongues. I don't, in a corporate sense. You get that thing. So the ability to pray to God in a language that he understands, that is driven by his will, according to the mind and cry of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit knowing the mind of God, he can pray the perfect will in a language that no one understands, and the devil can't interfere with that. I don't know if he may understand some of it. It says nobody understands it. Maybe no human understands it. Maybe the angelic realm do understand it, but what I do know is that they can't influence it. It's the will of God being prayed to God, and he can't mess with that. And then so we want gifts that will build us up, will build up the church. Tongues build myself up. So when I'm driving, I pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. You're being recharged. You plug your phone into the cell phone socket, you're being recharged. That's what it is in modern day terms. You get what I'm saying? And so individually we speak in tongues and we pray this prayer language, but there's a corporate tongue. Now listen to this. I just want to point this out to you, and then I'll give you an example from the men's meeting yesterday. In 1 Corinthians 14, the beginning of the chapter, he says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. But at the end of chapter 12, he says, earnestly desire the higher gifts. Again, he repeats this thing. Earnestly desire. Be jealous for. Seek after it. Be zealous for it. Hunger for it. Why does he repeat it? Because it's important. This is important stuff, friends. Chapter 12 ends with this encouragement to earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I'll show you still a more excellent way. And he goes into the chapter 13 of love. But then in chapter 14, he starts exactly the first verse again. And he says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Are you getting the picture? Do you see where I'm going with this? It's Paul's saying, we're not going to be very effective until we've got a passion and a hunger for the things of the Spirit. There will not be revival if we are not earnestly seeking. What do I do if I'm pressing in for the gift? I'm asking God, Lord, give me this gift. There are certain gifts that I feel will help me to be effective in ministry or praying for people. So I'm asking God, help me to get those gifts. I'm asking you to give them. Your word says earnestly desire them, so it means that they are attainable for me. But then I go and I find all the guys who've find out who's operated in those gifts, and I study their ministry. I read Robert Leardon's book on generals, on people who've operated in those gifts. I get a book by Frank Hammond on the discerning of spirits, and I read how they worked and the examples of how they operated. I told you the story before. Keir was talking to us and he was telling us how he takes those videos of those God's generals that Robert Leardon speaks about in his book, and he finds the video and tape evidence. They didn't have videos in those days. Some had little cameras that, you know, those 8mm or whatever. And he would watch and study how they operated on the stage as they were ministering and releasing the gifts of the Spirit to learn how to do it. What body language? What wording do they use? How do they lay hands on a sick person and see a leg grow and things like that? Those are things you can do. You know, we're sitting waiting for God to drop it in my lap. But he wants to see you earnestly desiring the gift and pressing into it. Let's do that, friends. And so, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39. Here again. So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy. See, prophecy builds up the church. Prophecy, and do not forbid the speaking in tongues. So, whoever says that the gifts of tongues is not for today means this chapter and this verse has to be taken out of his Bible. John MacArthur's a cessationist. And he's proud of it. So I'm not blaspheming his name, or I'm not critting him, or I'm not putting him down. You can go and read his books, Charismatic Chaos. I wonder if the John MacArthur Bible has got this verse in it. I'm sure it has. Something wrong with that, isn't there? How does he explain that away? How do you explain away the gifts? Chapters 12 and chapters 14. What do you do with those chapters if you don't believe it exists for today? It's not meant for today. That means you've got to take your Bible and tear it out. And you know what the Bible tells me? Timothy is told, Paul writes to Timothy, says, all scriptures God breathed. They're all scripture. Even the genealogies are God breathed. And useful for what? Training and teaching and encouraging. Training in righteousness. All of those things. Friends. I'm sorry. I just don't understand it, because it's like saying to your military, yeah, here's the strategy for the battle. This is where you've got to go and attack. But you're going there with nothing. No weapons, no armor, no helmet, no armor, no equipment, no nothing. You're just going to go there. That's what these cessationists are telling the church today. You can go into battle, but you're going to go in there with nothing. Because without the power of the Holy Spirit, there is nothing. And so, friends, I want to encourage you with this. As I've already said, it means that it is available. If God says, seek it, it means it's attainable. And so we spoke at the men's breakfast yesterday, and I mentioned a guy by the name of Benaiah. And it's found in 2 Samuel. And the reason I bring this up is because Benaiah, his name means God builds. His name means one who builds up. He's a builder. He's one who, what he does in life, he adds value to things. So let's read what he says about, and I want to use this as a challenge to each one of us, that we, you and I would become a Benaiah type of person who seeks after the things of the Spirit. Benaiah was a warrior of David. He was one of David's mighty men. And you know, David had 30 guys who were his closest 30 guys, and then he had the three mighty men who were like the top tier. And this guy didn't fall into the top three, but he was one of David's bodyguards. He was in charge of the bodyguard group. And as we chatted yesterday, to be part of the bodyguard of David meant that he was probably one of the most reliable, most loyal, trustworthy guys. Because when your army's depleted and it's just you and your bodyguard as the king or the leader, those are the last line of defense. You don't need traitors in that group, do you? We don't need someone who's going to betray you in that group. And so, friends, it says here, Benaiah the son of How did I listen to the Hebrew wording? Jehoiada is how you pronounce that, guys. That's his father, was a valiant man. Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was a valiant man of Kazbil. And it says he was a doer of great deeds. And when I looked up those words, it means that he attempted a lot of things. He was prolific in his deeds. But he also was not scared of hard things to do. He was challenged by great and difficult situations. And as we said, and Lundy brought it in the prayer meeting before the meeting, and said, felt that God is saying to us, we need to be a people who stand resolute and be persevering through the thick and the thin. I've mentioned this book before. Eugene Peterson wrote that book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. That's the Christian walk. That's the believer's walk. It's just line upon line, precept upon precept. We just stand our ground and we keep going. And he, it says here, a doer of great deeds. He was one who was a maker. He was a person who made things happen. And you know, the more you take on a hard task, the easier it is to do the next task. Now you know that David had his obscure moments with the lion and the bear. That's why he could take on the Goliath. He said, this guy's food. He's just fodder for the kingdom of God. Who is this giant that challenges the armies of God? And why could he say that? Because in the obscurity of looking after the sheep, he took out a bear and he took out a lion. He was stretched in his adrenaline glands. He was stretched in his sweat glands, but he had to take on those lion and the bear. And so now the Goliath is just a stone fling away. He knows that. And God makes it happen. But here, so he struck down two Ariels. Now this is another word that we don't find so easily explained. Your Bible might have a footnote that says we don't know what it means. But if you look up the Strong's, it says Ariels are lion-like men. They are men of renown. They are lion-like creatures, humans. Champions, lion, he was a lion chaser. There's a book out by a guy called Mark Batterson that I spoke from yesterday with the guys, chapter 9 I think it is, and Mark Batterson wrote this book, a whole book on one this little passage of scripture, and the book's called Lion in a Pit on a Snowy Day. You know, this is what he did. So he also went down, so he struck down two Ariels. So this is his journey to taking out, he's got a repertoire, he's got a portfolio of killing great men, great lion type people. And so he takes out these two Ariels from Moab. Moab was one of the enemies of Israel, and the Amorites, they were the two nations that came out of the incestuous relationship with Lot and his daughters. But here we have, he takes these guys out, and then he also went down and he struck down a lion in a pit on the day when the snow had fallen. In the pit with a lion on a snowy day. You know, we read the scriptures and often I wonder, I wish there was more to it than what we read here, because I can only imagine what was going on in his mind. But the Bible doesn't tell us why he went down there. It doesn't tell us why he decided to go into a pit, a cistern, like a hole in the ground, probably like a well, where there was a line of the things of God. We are passionate against the nonsense in the world. We are passionate for the right, and we are passionate for looking after the wronged and the downtrodden. That's what Jesus came. That's why Isaiah 61 says, the Lord has anointed me to set captives free, to preach the gospel. He has anointed me. And we spoke a little bit about anointing. We don't have time this morning to do the anointing. Go and read Psalms and David's anointing and how the anointing on David just opened up his ministry, his gifting, his leadership, because he was anointed. Go and do a study on the anointing. It's a fascinating study. But that's what I'm wanting for you today. As people come to the front afterwards, I'm asking for people to come and get anointed of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit without measure. People say, well, I laid hands on the sick and nothing happened, but Jesus did it. But even Jesus couldn't do it when there was lack of faith. But the thing is, when Jesus did it, the Bible tells us he was full of the Holy Spirit without measure, which means that he operated under the power of the Spirit. He didn't do it because he was the one, part of the Godhead. He did it because he laid all of that aside. And that's why he role modeled that. And I'm saying it for the 100th time. He role modeled that for you and I to say, you and I can do the same things. We can do greater things. Jesus' words, you will do greater things. Don't we want to do greater things for the kingdom? Don't we want to go to Lesotho and where there is a depravity of light in a particular place to go and bring life and excitement and light back and hope back and infill the pastor there with an injection of Holy Spirit encouragement and Holy Spirit enthusiasm again? Because the enemy has taken that territory and we're going to take it back. So let's get to the story and then we'll pray for people. And he struck down an Egyptian. I don't understand this either. He struck down an Egyptian, a handsome man. What does it mean? You know, why that? Of all things, it leads your mind to stray and think, why would he put that in? My word. It was almost a blunder of note. But they feel that die, but the ship's going to be total. And I want you to throw the stuff off. But they didn't listen. And he gives them a word of wisdom, which is how to implement the knowledge that God shows you. That's what wisdom is. Joseph had that gift to know how to deal with the famine and store up the grain and sell the grain to people and take all the property till the point where Pharaoh owned the whole land, you know? And so this is a picture of Philippi. So I want to close with those thoughts, friends. And we're going to maybe ask you guys to do a song for us here. And I'm going to pray and then we're going to invite people to come. And if you need an impartation, you feel there's something that needs to be washed off you, there's something that needs to be changed today. As we said, you know, the Holy Spirit plows the ground before he sows the seed. And we've been trusting God to be plowing the ground as the word is preached. And as you sit under the preaching of the word, you're being washed by the word. But now there's an impartation. You need an impartation, spiritual impartation. We're going to spend a while just trusting God.
Hello? Yeah, okay. I felt that the Holy Spirit said there are people that are still haunted by their past. Memories of things that they experience or have done, even though they're not in that life anymore, those memories are holding you back. So if you feel it's for you, please come up for prayer. While we minister in the front, please feel free for the remainder. Please feel free to have some fellowship at the back.